tonight. In the United States, fraud on an almost unimaginable scale. If we can't trust the bosses or the people who check their accounts, is capitalism itself heading for a crisis of confidence?
You can use accounting, just like any language, in ways to mislead or to confuse or to obfuscate.
They had assets on the books, but liabilities they kept off the books. The accounts were both fraudulent as well as following the rules.
Accounting might appear to be boring, technical and grey, but it actually influences distribution of income, wealth, risks, people's rights. So it is a very, very important piece of technology.
This century has seen some notorious and spectacular company failures. And often the reason for the speed and magnitude of those failures stems from the fact that the true financial state was obscured by complex and exotic accounting devices. Last week, a report was released on Lehman Brothers, the bank which started the banking collapse in 2008. It described how Lehman Brothers used accounting gimmicks to make the bank appear healthier than it really was, and that the auditors, Ernst & Young, the people checking the accounts, failed to question inadequate disclosures in the bank's results. Steve Priddy is Director of Technical Policy and Research at the Association of Chartered Certified Accountants. They describe themselves as the global body for professional accountants. So I asked him if the accountants were to blame in the case of Lehman Brothers.
I really can't comment on the detail of that. The report has just come through. It seems as if there may be some culpability there, but I'm not part of the audit team and I wouldn't really know one way or the other at the moment as we speak.
But more generally, accounting firms took millions for auditing the accounts of the banks, and yet they didn't say anything is going wrong.
Well, I think that one needs to understand exactly what an auditor does, which is to review the various books and accounts and have extensive access to information, and then to reach a view on the truth and the fairness of the reported results. Banking, it's certainly in the investment banking sector, transactions have got, and the business model has got incredibly complex, so much so that some of the directors themselves didn't understand the products that they were selling.
So it's too complicated even for the accountants to understand.
I would say that it's been very complex, but I would say that what has to be done is that there is an element which you do rely upon the representations of the senior people within the firm that things are as they are. But it is a judgment that's made at a specific point in time.
Ernst & Young have denied doing anything wrong in their audit of Lehman Brothers, and the investigations continue. But it's not the first time auditors have got the blame for a major company collapse. It happened with Enron in 2001. Anne Loft, Professor of Accounting at Lund University in Sweden, says that in this case, the auditors got too close to the company. Enron's auditing was being done by the large accounting firm Arthur Andersen.
Andersen was both advising the company on how to set up some of these special kind of connected companies which they'd got in which they were hiding their liabilities, as well as doing the audit. Actually, the number of the people involved in the finance structures in Enron were actually ex-employees of Andersen. There were clearly many problems there.
Prem Sikka, Professor of Accounting at the University of Essex, is one of the industry's most persistent critics.
Auditors are a weak link in this chain because you have one floor of big accountancy firms doing an audit and another floor advising companies on how to bypass the rules and regulations and how to flatter their financial statements. And they make money whichever way the things go. So they could check these things, but I think since they are profit-making entities, there is a very little impulse to check these things. It's like playing Russian roulette. Maybe one bullet might kill you at the end, but 99 times perhaps they can get away with it. And this is exactly what accountancy firms have been doing.
Prem Sikka argues that the banking crisis vindicates his view.
We find that even though Northern Rock had been effectively nationalised, accountancy firms were still giving a clean bill of health to all the banks. If nothing else, the demise of Northern Rock should have sent a message that just a minute, this whole industry is affected. You need to have a good look at what is going on. And in almost every case, accountancy firms were doing the audit and then also acting as consultants to the same corporation. Their argument is that it somehow does not impair auditor independence if you sell other services.
David Cooper, another professor of accounting, this time from Alberta University, thinks that the profession isn't unethical but has a short-sighted view of the public interest.
I think that accounting is committed to a certain notion of ethics. Auditors go out of their way and try very hard, in many respects, to be independent. But in the end, I think auditors and accountants tend to be brought up with an ethical mindset, which is what is good for business is good for society as a whole. And that's not always the case.
After the Enron scandal, Arthur Andersen more or less collapsed, leaving the worldwide accountancy business in the hands of just four players, known as the Big Four.
The Big Four accounting firms are global organizations. Their turnover combined is about $90 billion a year. That makes them the world's 54th biggest economy, and their income exceeds the GDP of many nation states. They have more offices in cities than Coca-Cola. They even operate in small islands, which have no requirement for any company to publish financial statements or audited accounts. So they are selling many, many, many other services.
David Cooper argues that we know too little about how the Big Four operate.
I think these big accounting firms do represent a kind of... There are certain ironies or certain paradoxes around them. They present and promote a model of super-efficiency and hyper-rationality, which they actually can't live up to in their own work. The firms themselves are set up to promote and to sell advice based on rational planning and projections and so on. But in their own operations, very often feel that it's not appropriate or necessary to do so. And you know, the other irony, perhaps the irony of all ironies in the case of the accounting firms, that they promote accountability and transparency, but of course that doesn't apply to themselves. These are large partnerships employing hundreds of thousands of people around the world, with hundreds of offices around the world, and yet they don't provide audited financial statements. They don't provide the sort of information you would expect from even smaller corporations.
They may publish accounts, especially if the trade has limited liability partnerships, but these accounts are very, very limited. And when you go to any company annual general meeting, there will be a resolution to appoint an auditor. But amazingly, all other resolutions would be accompanied by information. But when it comes to appointing the audit firm, there is no information. For example, saying, within the last 5 years, what kind of a regulatory action has been taken against accountancy firms? Have they been sued by anybody for malpractices? Any of their partners gone to jail? A number of them have in the US. So it's interesting, accountancy firms have made a lot of money by introducing and spreading the idea of league tables for schools, hospitals, universities, you name it, there is a league table. Then ask the question, where is the league table about the performance of accountancy firms themselves? Well, the answer is there isn't any.
So does the industry need reforming? And Loft thinks it's starting to move in the right direction.
Some people do actually say that the profession have got too much power, there's still too much self-regulation. But the International Federation of Accountants has now got a public interest oversight board, which actually sort of like watches over standard setting and so on in the audit area with the view of bringing in public interest all the way through the whole process.
But Prem Sikker thinks more radical action is necessary.
At the very least, the task of audit should be taken over by a specially designated regulator, because accountancy firms have generally failed to deliver what the public expects of them. So I think really we should be opening up accountancy firms to scrutiny if we want to reduce accounting games in corporate statements. But actually the trend is in the completely opposite direction, because accountancy firms are getting more and more liability concessions, which means it is more and more difficult for any aggrieved or injured stakeholder to sue them. And the result of that is, I'm afraid, we will see more and more scandals around accounting, around the failures of auditors.
I put these points to Steve Priddy. Wouldn't it be better for audits to be carried out by an official regulator rather than by private firms?
That's a very long-standing discussion, and the consensus has been around the world in the major capital centres that actually self-regulation is the best way forward. Again, I don't know of any jurisdiction where there is state regulation of the audit function. And one might argue that that also creates its own hazards and its own unintended consequences when one considers the different types of governments that there are around the world.
Do you think accountancy firms are sufficiently transparent about their own activities? I mean, they are quite keen that the rest of us should be subject to performance indicators and measurements and a general accountability. The argument is that accountancy firms themselves aren't particularly accountable or transparent.
I think that is a road that we're all on. I think, again, if I come back to my point, the events of the last 2 years have changed many of the assumptions that we took for granted, many of the bodies of knowledge that we assumed were correct. And what is happening is that the audit firms are evolving in terms of their transparency. If you look in the UK, for example, and the UK regulator, there is a regular regime of inspection now. And so all the firms are audited themselves, they're inspected, and those inspections are in the public domain. And I think as we move forward, we're learning more things about how to improve transparency and how to improve governance in the audit firms themselves.
Over the centuries, accountancy has become more complex. It's become more tightly regulated, developed codes of ethics, and accountancy students are taught about the social dimensions of the profession. But still, defining what the obligations of the industry are to all the, what are nowadays called, stakeholders is still work in progress, thinks David Cooper.
What is the right sort of information that other users, people that these bodies don't pay much attention to, whether that's employees or the local community or environmental concerns, what would be the sort of information that organisations, corporations, firms, governments as well, might be providing to the general public to enable them to hold these organisations to account? I think these are ethical issues, because in the end it's about whose side is the accountant on. And I think this is about trying to foster a healthy democracy. It's always a struggle. It will always, I'm sure, always remain a struggle, but one has to remain committed and enthusiastic and optimistic that we can get beyond misleading and obfuscatory information and get closer to an agreement about what's really happening here.